سهراني نور علينا البدر لبقى بعيون الناس وانا عندي لك احساس الصبايا ترقص والشباب تلمس الاسطوانة تدور وانا قلبي فيك مسحور الليلة سهراني نور علينا البدر لبقى بعيون الناس وانا عندي لك احساس الصبايا ترقص والشباب تلمس الاسطوانة تدور وانا قلبي فيك مسحور ترقص لا وحدة رشا بتشسمة عاتم ما في بسمة ضبيا بين الغزلان صادت بسامة نار بقلبي تحمى وتشعل وهمة ضبيا بين الغزلان ترقص لا وحدة رشا بتشسمة عاتم ما في بسمة ضبيا بين الغزلان صادت بسامة نار بقلبي تحمى وتشعل
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays. You just heard Toot Ard with Moonlight, all about dancing in the moonlight with your honey, your baby, your lover. Very romance, very cute. Before that, you heard Twice with Moonlight Sunrise. I'm so happy to have played that song. It's a Twice banger, in my opinion. I was really surprised to find that it didn't chart in Canada, because it's an English release. You know, I hope you really enjoyed that song. Actually, it's exciting because, you know, because it's an English song, it's one of the very few Twice songs that I can sing the entirety of. And looking up the lyrics has been very beneficial because, you know, sometimes with any pop song there's always like misheard lyrics and stuff, and I just want to be sure that I know what's happening, and I get to know 100% because it's in English. You know, I was also really tempted to put Cat's Eye's new song Touch on today's playlist because there's a lyric in it that I really like. The song has nothing to do with the moon mostly, but there's one lyric that goes, sometimes I'm alone, stare out my window and the moon makes you seem close tonight. And I thought that was like very like, ooh, kind of what I'm trying to go for with today's episode, which is to talk about, you know, like connections that people have with the moon and with regards to like human connections as well, how the moon helps them navigate human relationships. Alas, I also chose not to put the song on the playlist because don't know, it doesn't have that much to do with the moon, I guess. And I was worried that it had charted in Canada, so there's that. I'm talking about the moon today because Mid-Autumn Festival is coming up very soon. And, you know, aside from, like, harvest and gathering together and, like, eating food and hanging out with your family and friends and all that, it's also about the moon, which is, you know, this glowing little orb that was formed. Many space geologists, I learned this recently, believe that it formed very soon after the Earth was formed. And so it's been a part of the lives of humans for many thousands of years. When we left off, I was talking about how I've been, like, really fascinated by, like, the human connections to the moon and how, like, our cultures will discuss it as a part of our lives and what it represents and things like that. And in these songs that I've selected today, I've found some connections, I think, to how it has been discussed throughout quite a bit of history, I think, particularly because I'm Chinese. I'm gonna be focusing on, like, you know, some parts of, like, Chinese literature, particularly the poems of Li Bai, who, you know, was a poet whose poem I recited right in the opening of this week's episode, and it has direct relation to Mid-Autumn Festival. In it, Li Bai is talking about how he looks at the moonlight at the foot of his bed, and he's reminded of Mid-Autumn Festival, and how he can't go home because he's serving in court, he's serving the emperor, and people who serve the emperor aren't allowed to go home, basically, during the holidays. In this poem, the moon represents a yearning for human relationships and for family, because he writes, he looks up at the moon and then he has to look down because he's overcome with this feeling of homesickness. Li Bai would go on to write a number of other poems about the moon and use it kind of as a means to explore, like, human relationships and loneliness. I think partly because actually, I'm not 100% sure because I don't know too much about his biography, but as far as I understand, based on what I've read and what other people have told me, he was not favored by the emperor, so he had a lot of time to, like, be isolated from his peers and to essentially write poems. And again, I don't know 100% if that's true, but I suppose it would make a lot of sense because he's considered one of the greats of Tang Dynasty poetry tradition. You know, when you have a lot of emotions and you have a lot of time on your hands not serving the emperor, perhaps you're very good at writing poetry. So here's another that's called Drinking Under the Moonlight by Li Bai. And I'm gonna share this one with you because it's not as well known as the one before, but I think it's very interesting in his usage of the moon as a figure around loneliness.
月既无解营，影徒随我身，暂伴月将影，行乐须及春。我歌月徘徊，我舞迎凌乱。醒时同交欢，醉后各分散。永结无情友，相亲苗云汉。
So this poem is also really interesting because, again, it's using the figure of the moon to discuss loneliness in some ways. Li Bai, in this poem, he's drinking with the moon. The moon and his shadow become his companions. There's a part where he says he raises his cup of wine to the moon to invite it for a drink, and his shadow becomes the third person in their little hangout. When he sings, the moon is grooving along to his songs. When he dances, his shadow is dancing with him wildly as well. And though they can't meet each other on this realm, they can meet each other in the Milky Way. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, when you think about it a little bit harder, it's actually quite sad. If you look up the translations of the poem, it's very romantic, I guess, with a capital R. You know, it evokes these, like, very strong feelings about something actually quite, you know, pretty lonely. In this poem, and then the previous one as well, the moon kind of symbolizes this reminder around human connections, right? On one hand, it is about coming together as a community, as a family, to celebrate something significant, such as harvest. On the other hand, it is also a companion to when you are really generally alone and you have no other companions to drink with. It's this longing for human connection. And in today's playlist, you're going to hear a song kind of about that as well. I'm really excited to share it with you. You've probably heard it before if you've been a longtime listener of the program. But then on the flip side, right, there's also a lot of stories and significant work out there about the moon as this figure of romance. You know, we heard that in the Teresa Tung song, right? The moon represents my heart. It is my love for you. The song also actually doesn't go too much into why the moon represents her heart, actually. She doesn't break it down in the same way that Li Bai does with how the moon is his constant companion during his times of loneliness. Rather, I think it's kind of this signifying of what we feel about the moon, this thing that is bright and pure, that it's a constant, right? Because even if we don't see the moon out one night because of cloudy skies or something, we know that the moon is still there and it's still watching over us. Here's a PSA, and we'll get into the music right after that.
This is Bird Note. In September, Arctic terns fly south over the ocean from Alaska all the way to Antarctica. Also in September, the last rufous hummingbirds depart their breeding range in the west, following floral highways of mountain wildflowers south to Mexico. Ruby-crowned kinglets are leaving the northern evergreen forests where they nest on their way to milder climates. Each of these birds is migrating, but on a very different course. All have the same adaptive goal, making the most of food and breeding opportunities that change with the seasons. Arctic terns follow one of the longest annual migrations, traveling as much as 44,000 miles each year. Arctic tundra provides their ideal nesting site in summer. The Antarctic, the ideal feeding grounds in our winter. Rufous hummingbirds are medium-range migrants, traversing about 5,000 miles a year between temperate and tropical nectar sources. Some ruby-crowned kinglets are altitudinal migrants, especially in the west. They may remain close to the same latitude all year, but spend the cold months in the relative warmth of the lowlands, dining on insects and their eggs. In summer, you'll need to ascend thousands of feet into the western mountain ranges to hear the kinglet's exuberant song. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann. Thank you.
Something that we don't do very often on Typically Tuesdays is to share the music of movie official soundtracks. But that was Joe Hisaishi with Life, and before that you heard Lil Bamboo, also by Joe Hisaishi. And that was off of the official soundtrack of The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, which is one of my favorite movies, as discussed many a time on this program, and is based off of the Japanese folktale, The Tale of the Bamboo Cutter, in which the princess of the moon comes down to the earth and she falls in love with the earth. Which, I guess, brings me to, like, kind of, like, my final observation about, like, the moon as a cultural figure in our stories and things like that, which is around a love of the earth, right? In The Tale of the Princess Kaguya, we have the princess of the moon who has fallen in love with the life on earth. And it happens, like, throughout the story, right? She's singing songs about the beauty of the living things on this planet. And I'm gonna link it to one other thing, right? And we also see this technically in Sailor Moon. And in Sailor Moon, we can take it quite literally because, you know, the princess of the moon, which is Sailor Moon, is in love with Tuxedo Mask, who is the prince of Earth. And they have this miracle romance where every reincarnation that they experience, they will always find each other, and they will always, they're destined to be together. That is the story of the opening theme, Moonlight Densetsu. That is the miracle romance that is mentioned throughout the song and throughout the story. I also think you have to think about it in the way of, like, what role Sailor Moon plays. She's the guardian of love and justice. Her version of justice is not necessarily punitive. We see throughout the story that, in fact, that her version of justice centers healing and compassion and care, and that is how she helps these quote-unquote evil villains kind of, like, purify their souls and to save the earth. But at the very end of the story, Sailor Moon sacrifices herself for the beings on the galaxy. It is kind of like this deep, kind of like almost messiah sacrificial love that helps the world continue to be, essentially. And so I think that's really interesting when we think back to why we celebrate Mid-Autumn Festival, partly to pray to the moon goddess, right? This deity that is supposed to protect, you know, our harvest. It's supposed to protect our livelihoods. Now, I want to make clear, I am not a literary scholar. I am a baby, and I'm just a moon fangirl. But I think it's really interesting to consider this this aspect of the storytelling, some of the storytelling around the moon, right? The figures that represent the moon, the symbols that the moon have in our human cultures as something that protects us, something that protects the life on this earth, something that protects humans, I guess, and that, in fact, is truly in love with us, with the earth. I know this interpretation is kind of strange, but I'm going to lean into it a little bit more. I'm going to talk about another thought that I'm having, which is when I was growing up, the night as taught to me in, like, literature class is about, like, this, you know, space of transformation, of liminal space. It's kind of unsure, it's unknown. The creepy crawlies come out at night. Nighttime has the potentiality for people to transform into, like, horrible, horrible things, right? But the moon is kind of the constant. You know, it literally illuminates during this, like, time where we, like, can't see anything. So it offers a sense of security. In darkness and night, we feel vulnerable. With the moon, with the moonlight, we're assured of some things, right? That's kind of our solace. The moon, it sees everything. It's been around almost as long as the Earth has been around. So it's seen a lot of the life that has come and gone on the Earth. It has seen our ancestors. It will see our descendants. It sees all of the people that I love and care about that exist with me right now. It sees me as well. And so certainly maybe the night, you know, is literal darkness, and it represents times in our life when we're feeling more vulnerable, more insecure. We also feel those ways when we are lonely and alone. But so then I wonder if that's the reason why in art about human connections with each other and the land and other things, the moon is often there serving as this motif to represent those relationships, because it is a constant. Again, it's, you know, it's seen most of everything, and it's been the constant companion of basically all living things. But I also don't know, so I'm just vibing out here. Happy Mid-Autumn Festival if you celebrate Mid-Autumn Festival. Even if you don't, I really strongly recommend you do some moon bathing with some loved ones on the night of. As I understand it, the forecast says it's not going to be clear skies, but the night afterward is more likely to be. And from personal experience, I know that often at times the night afterwards can be quite nice as well for moon bathing if Mid-Autumn Festival isn't. So do consider checking that out. Here's one last song for you today. It's a little bit Levi-like. It's kind of like sad and lonely, but it's also about how the moon is your constant companion. Here's the last track for today. Thanks for listening to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Leslie. I'll talk to you very soon. This is Why I Love the Moon by Phony People.
That's why I love the moon. Every night it's there for you. It's constant. Unlike these human beings who lie about what it seems to be. You think the earth is where you stand. That's why I love the moon, 'cause it's always there for me. Every night above my window, and that's why I love the moon, 'cause it's always there for me. Every single night I look outside, just when you think you found it, the illusions in your eyes, it blinds us all. So be careful where you look for love. Just be careful where you look for love.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's why I let the moon shine, 'cause through the time I've been confused on how to move out. Stuck in between what wasn't and what could be the truth, high. Still up trying to escape the demons in my room. You see, it's no change, dropping, we learn to maintain. Roughing it, how could anybody else for pain when they brainwash us and watch us every time we make exchanges? We're slaves, locked in a box and use our mind just to escape all the same shit. I'm tired of the pain, love.
is blind to the flame. That's why I look up, never hide behind the skies and the rain. Promises cooked up, exercising, no denying the pain. That's why I look for ways to find whatever lies in the rain. Cause shit changed. I don't blame my father for lamping. I believe that help. What I'm trying to grow is just to try to grow as myself. So understanding when I'm stranded, taking chances, know I need that. Fool fell on my back, you just relax and keep your seat back. Cause when you think, that's when you let time run and escape with your mind. Loving, that's what you think. So what you think? If love was easy to find, we wouldn't need it to compete our lives.